Welcome everybody back to our second part, second edition of Technical Talks for another, you know, wonderful episode. I'd like to, you know, take some time to talk about, you know, what we have going on here when we're talking about historically Black colleges and, you know, shining a light on making sure that the access is there. The time is now. The reason is valid, and we want to make sure that we create spaces and avenues in order to have the clear-cut conversations on Technical Talk, because really technically it's just talking. I want our first guest today, Mr. David Turner, to go ahead and introduce himself, kind of give a brief background of his esteemed career, and then we'll move on to our featured guest, Mr. DeAndre Francois. If I'm saying that correctly, please let me know. If I'm not, please correct me.
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So go ahead, Mr.
So much Turner. More easier to say my name.
Yes. Yes.
My mom was like, we're going to give him a biblical name. No height, but just biblical name. My name's David Turner. I'm 18, 19 years in as a football scout, mainly 10 or 11 of them with the NFL, teams like the Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, Oakland Raiders, San Francisco 49ers, and Miami Dolphins. I've also worked in leagues of the Arena League football, where I was with the Arizona Rattlers, where we won three straight Arena Leagues. I've been with the UFL and CFL as well, so scouted and put teams together at many different levels.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Mr. Francois, please, please introduce to everyone who you are.
DeAndre Francois, former Florida State quarterback by way of Hampton, currently a free agent.
And last but not least, Mr. Langford, Brian A. Lyon. I invited him today because this brother has been an inspiration to me. When we're talking about putting in the work when it comes to establishing your voice, building your network, and understanding your plan, he's on it. I can't, thank him enough and value his relationship and his connection with me for being here. One of the reasons I asked him to be here is because of his extensive knowledge in the sport of football and in the business of podcasting and understanding, you know, how to build your network. So go ahead, Brian. Please let the community know who you are.
Man, you kind of like, because I've never been welcomed like that before. Like, I was like, I was enjoying it too. I was like, keep going, keep going, keep going. Now, man, I look at myself almost like the grandfather of podcasts. I've been doing this since 2009. So I was doing it with a flip phone. So it's good to see that podcasting has came this far, that we all can physically see each other, have a good conversation. I covered Team USA in 2012, also covered the Wizards for half a season, and also covered the Boston Celtics for a local network as well, too, for 5 years. So I'm excited to be here with you guys today. And just like they said, Mr. Francois, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, because, you know, being a free agent right now, you're busy and you're trying to showcase your talent. So we truly appreciate that.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we get right to it here on Technical Talks. First Black NFL player, his name was Frederick Pollard. First Black QB to win a Super Bowl was Doug Williams. First Black QB to enter the Hall of Fame was Warren Moon. Mr. Francois, who was the first person to inspire you to put that football in your hands?
It has to be my uncles. They all played football growing up in the South Florida area. Going to Miramar High School and then going off to play at USF. Two of my uncles played at USF together. And just seeing those guys, not really having a father figure growing up. So those were my father figures, and I just wanted to be like them and do everything that they did. So I picked up a football and ran with it.
Absolutely.
Do you see how different the quarterback position has, like, elevated as far as, like, from when you played from maybe peewee to high school to college? Did you see, like, the difference of, like, responsibility? Because when peewee, you're the quarterback, you just kind of throw the ball to the wide receiver, you go to high school, now you got this big playbook. Now you're in college, and it's like, oh man, I'm responsible. Because my opinion of the quarterback is that you're responsible for the other guys and the other 10 guys in the field with you on offense. Like, how was that transition for you, like going from each step to step to college?
Yeah, man, it was pretty much the same when you speak in sense of the job as being a quarterback and what you have to do. It's the same at every level. It just means more at different levels. Obviously, you get to the higher ups and you get to high school and it means a lot, but when you get to college, it means even more. And then obviously at the NFL, winning the Super Bowl is every player's ultimate goal. So it means a lot more the higher levels you go to, but being a quarterback and the job and the responsibility of being a quarterback is the same as if you're a Pee Wee quarterback or NFL quarterback. You still have to lead by example. You still have to, do the right things at all times, make sure your teammates are lined up, know what everybody's doing on the field at every level.
Absolutely. With that being said, everyone needs a two. Every great idea needs great action. Every person needs somebody to help them or a support system. I want you to describe, the importance of representation. We just saw a team the previous year before win an entire Super Bowl, an all-Black staff. Talk about the transition from being on a predominantly white campus to a predominantly Black campus and the variables within that representation built when you attended Hampton University.
Yeah, it was different in so many ways, and there's about 100 different ways that PWI and HBCUs are different, but one significant way was just the football program. Me being a football player, I just took notice on how different it was money-wise, important-wise. It's different when you go to a school like Hampton, per se, because Hampton is more of a basketball school than a football powerhouse. So going there, I seen that Hampton, they gave a lot of attention to the basketball program more than they did to the football program, because at the end of the day, that's what brings money to the school. The football program hadn't been as good as the basketball program for the last couple of years. So, the basketball program had a brand new facility while football was sharing, training rooms with all other sports. And that's just the way it was. But at Florida State, everybody had their own trainers. Everybody had their own facilities because of the money that, was being brought in. And it just goes all back to money when it becomes in the difference. We're talking about the difference in HBCUs and PWIs. It all comes down to money.
And you get an opportunity to, again, make another stamp with the HBCUs. And because, like I said, to be honest, you were at that powerhouse in Florida State, and then you go to Hampton, and now it's like, okay, well, I'm going to make my mark here. Number one, I meant to tell you this. Shout out to for you getting your degrees. I did some reading up on you. You have degrees, and I want to personally say shout out to you on that one. What are you doing right now today to mentally prepare yourself? I don't believe in ifs. When that phone call comes, what are you doing today to prepare yourself to get ready to play at the next level?
Mentally. We talking about mentally, man. That's the toughest, thing to deal with as an athlete of my nature, understanding that you can play the game, you've played the game at a high level, but to not be playing right now is frustrating mentally. To be working out every day and not know when the call is coming, that messes with you mentally. To know that, you can do it and you've done it with the players that are there that have been around you for the last couple of years. And you can compete, that takes a toll on you mentally, but you just have to, continue to keep a team around you that encourages you, because it can get lonely out here. The football world never stops. It just continues to go. Guys continue to declare for the draft. Guys continue to, disappear and become irrelevant. And a lot of guys give up after months and months of not hearing anything. A lot of guys they fire their agents and, they lose relationships with people, but I feel like me personally, I have a good team around me who understands, the situation that I'm in. They understand it's not a talent, issue. It's a character issue, and it's speed bumps that, you know, we have to overcome. And, you know, the feedback that we get from teams is still promising feedback. So that's the one thing that continues to help us keep going as a team.
And that really goes back to representation and placing value into a product. And shout out to the NFL for understanding that representation matters. I want to talk to Mr. Turner about that representation. Actually, why we're here. I want to say thank you, because when I heard about the NFL transitioning to, you know, being intentional about the combine and thinking about the light that hasn't been shined on historically Black colleges for so long, and going back to what he's talking about, you know, it's a lonely world in the NFL. You know, it never stops. Any sort of representation they can get is a plus. So please describe, you know, the you know, leading that charge, how it came to fruition, and where do you see it going in the future when it comes to the combine and connecting historically Black colleges to the NFL and providing what we know as access?
Well, right now we're seeing kind of an insurgence or a renaissance in historically Black colleges with their notoriety from the vice president all the way down. And we're seeing a reemergence and enrollment going up and things. You see coaches like Deion Sanders going to historic Black colleges, and hopefully that'll start to be an attractive venue and platform for players like DeAndre from when he comes out of high school to want to go there, not just transfer in, you know. That's the whole goal. And for me, you know, the NFL was to offer a historic HBCU combine last year in Miami, and it got canceled. And, you know, we didn't really know what was going to happen. We didn't know how we were going to do it. And about November, December, we found this man, Ulysses Payne Jr., who used to be president of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's made his money as a lawyer and an investor and stuff. And his cousin Yogi is actually a Bethune-Cookman coach, and there just by chance Yogi and I were at the same place out in California. We struck up a conversation how I have this passion for HBCUs, and you know, he works at one, and we're talking, and I said, you know, it was a shame that got canceled. And he's like, well, my cousin might want to do something. I was like, yeah, right, you know, everybody says that to me. And turned out his cousin created an LLC and went and he put his money behind it. And we were fortunate enough to get UAB to, you know, allow us to work on their field. It was a beautiful opportunity, and they opened up their home to us. I mean, that was an incredible place to be too. Birmingham has a lot to do with obviously civil rights and things. And so to be at UAB, be there in Birmingham and have this combine there to give these athletes a platform to hopefully explode off of and build and go forward. I really think it's an incredible opportunity that we can build, where you're not waiting for the NFL combine to invite you. We're saying, if you just come to an HBCU and you're a top athlete at an HBCU, you'll have your combine. You don't have to wait to get invited to the NFL combine. We're going to do it for you, you know. Absolutely. And you go on the field, you do what you do, you become one of the top players in the HBCU leagues, and you'll have a combine. You know, it's all about access to these players and giving them opportunity. And I don't believe in the exclusivity that the NFL combine kind of offers, because they only, and I get it, you know, you can only do about 300 kids and do all the stuff that they do there. And there's time constraints, and I do understand that, but the exclusivity leaves too many people out. You know, there's too many opportunities that are missed. And that's what I've learned from my career working in the other leagues, whether it was a UFL, Arena League, or Canada. There are good players out on the street that really can perform well and get to the next level. They just need the opportunity. And through the HBCU combine, that's what we're trying to do, is give these young men an opportunity, these athletes, to perform and put a stage together where they can, like I said, you know, rocket ship off of it and boost their career. Because guys like DeAndre, I've known him now for about a year. And, you know, he's a young man who has all the talent in the world. You can't tell me he can't play at the NFL level. You can't tell me he can't play at the Canadian level. I mean, this is a young man who, through his tenacity and continued work ethic, is the kind of kid you're looking for to be a leader of your team in your locker room, in your huddle, barking out the calls, making sure he's holding them accountable. That's what he brings. And people just need to sit and talk with him a little bit like I did. And like I have plenty of times, right, DeAndre? Right. and you see it in him. I mean, his work ethic, his smile, everything comes out. But, you know, it putting him through the ringers, as I've done several times now, he's delivered every time. His skills on the field are consistent. They're concise. His throwing motion's incredible. His arm talent is there. Like, you know, he just needs another opportunity. And as soon as he does, I know he'll take it and run with it.
Here we go. It's working again. All right. DeAndre, talk about, like, so for me, I went through a struggle with this, and I can admit the COVID-19 and the pandemic really set everything back, because I'm pretty sure that when, you know, you left FSU, you had a plan, and then all of a sudden, boom, COVID hits. And everything is just at a halt. And it threw a monkey wrench in my plans, because I had to slow down my working, had to worry about kids and et cetera and et cetera. Like, talk about your path through that pandemic over the last year.
Yeah, COVID's terrible, man. It messed up a lot of things. You know, it just so happened that the year that, you know, I declared to go to the NFL, that it messes up a lot. It's bad timing, but you know, a lot of thousands and thousands of players are in the same position that I'm in, with everything getting canceled. Me and my agent, we put together a great plan. You know, we were checking off the boxes, and I had two pro days set up, one at Maryland and one at Hampton. And then I had the HBCU combine, and we were just, you know, going to do all those three things in a row, and everything got canceled. After Rudy Gobert did his touching the mic thing, the NBA shut everything down, and my pro day was that month, that following Monday. And I remember we had the flight booked, the hotel booked, and everything got canceled. We didn't even get our money back for those cancellations. It was just a tough, tough moment. But, you know, we couldn't complain about it. We had to take it for what it was, because, you know, like I said, a lot of other guys in the same position, a lot of people losing their jobs, a lot of people losing their businesses, their homes. So it was kind of bigger than football. You know, at that time, just trying to stay safe and continue to keep my family safe. So it kind of got bigger than football. And I had to understand that I had to work around it. I had to continue to figure it out. You know, nobody cares that I was affected and things got canceled. No scout, you know, really cares. It's what you're going to do now. You know, just show your perseverance. You know, people see that. People see, you know, you overcoming those little obstacles to continue to fight for your dream.
Absolutely. You kind of lightweight answered my question I was going to ask. You know, what I'm hearing from you is really, you know, you're learning the business of the game. David, you've been immersed in the business of the game, you know, for quite some time now. Really talk about how that's evolved, you know, from beginning to end for both of you. You know, the education for our youth, you know, for what it's worth, you know, as much as these kids want to learn Steph Curry's jump shot, you know, and how he shoots from all over the court, they need to know that Steph Curry's in a union. He's in a labor worker. He has to understand contracts and collective bargaining agreements and understand all those things that come along with the game. You have to love it just as much. You have to book flights. You have to possibly lose money. You have to be consistent. Explain to all of us what it takes to, number one, starting with you, David, number one, to be consistent in this game, all the way up into the point to where you're, you know, acting in representation for historically Black colleges. And, you know, on to you, DeAndre, what it takes to be consistent in this game all the way up into the point to where, you know what, it's almost time for that phone call. Go ahead.
Well, I will say the reason I started my side business, which is now my main business, Maverick Sports Consulting, was to help young men understand the business of football, which is something that I don't think we teach enough in college or in school, is business and business sense and what it takes to be in business. I think it's a real travesty and lack of a gap in educational process. Cause I know when I came out with my poli sci degree, I knew how to write a resume. I knew how to, you know, submit a resume to go to work, but I didn't really understand all the games and processes and political moves that happen inside of a building when I got in one, you know. And I don't think a lot of players and athletes really understand that, because they live a glorified lifestyle where even as a young high school star, you know, they have the world at their feet. And that's not saying they get grades and they get paid. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that things are a little easier when you are a star player. And I get that. Okay. I've never was a star player, but I get it and I see it. So they're not prepared for the business and the rejection and stuff. You know, I had a player one time, he did some bad things in college, and I was doing his interview prep, and he talked to me about his whole story, and he was going to sue the police, and he was going to do this, and he was going to do that. I got to it finally. It took us several hours, but I got to the point. I said, "What was your mistake?" And he didn't understand what I was asking. The mistake was, when the police came knocking on the door, you didn't face the music right there. You chose to run and extend this process. If you would have faced the music right there, it would have been a lot less of a process for you. The business side of it would have been answered, that you had the character to stand and face the music when it was presented to you, not that you fled and then it was a 2-day, you know, thing and all this other stuff happened. And he's like, "Man, I never thought of that. I thought of everything that happened after, but I never thought of that." And his words to me always ring in my head. He's like, "You know, we think we have all the answers, but man, you sit here and you have them." And I'm like, because I've been a youth. I've been someone who's had to face a lot of adversity in my life, and I've succeeded. And so I can tell you how to succeed in your life and give you lessons on how to do things and steps to take. Because when you're always seeking the top contract. Well, you know what the top contract means? The biggest bullseye on your back. Because as a personnel guy, it's my job to make sure we're under the cap every single day when that stroke of midnight hits in the NFL. And so therefore, if I can find a cheaper version of you, it's my job to do that for the organization. A lot of young men don't get that. They just want to get the top contract and be living the lifestyle. Well, guess what? There's only one Michael Jordan and one Kobe Bryant and one LeBron James. And they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they work out till 6. Then they take a break. Then they go back at 11 and work out till 1. And then they take a break. Then they go back and work out at 4. And then they take a break and they sleep. And then they're back up at 4. Are you willing to do that? Because if you're not, you're not going to keep the top position. You know, you're not going to do it. Like, Will Smith says that all the time. You can put me on a treadmill and I'm going to die on a treadmill, right? No one's going to outrun me. It's not going to happen. And in my world, no one's going to outwork me. Like, I slept in the office. I freaking have eaten out of vending machines. I'll do what it takes to stay and to be in that building. And that's the attitude these young men have to have every day. Like, getting to the NFL is an opportunity. It's not the destination. And getting to the NFL is an opportunity that you have to then maximize, increasing your references, increasing your network, increasing the sponsorship opportunities, going out into the community, making sure that you're one of the beloved childs in that building. Because if you're not, I guarantee you, guys like me will get you out of there really quick. Because it's an opportunity. It's not a destination. Even Joe Montana and Jerry Rice got cut. Okay. Tim Brown got cut. These are gold jackets, guys. And the average lifespan of an NFL player is 3.3 years. Now, when I do all the math and I talk like this, it's to educate, not to scare, not to deter. It's to educate so you understand what you're really up against and really what you're trying to go after and go get, and how rare and how special you have to be to capture it and keep it. Not just get there, but keep it. You know, Zach Thomas used to come in at like 6:30 every morning. I'd be filling the water coolers because that's where I started. I filled water coolers my first year. I delivered mail. I did laundry. I moved tables. I set up and broke down stuff. I wasn't a scout. I was a grunt boy. As the owner used to call me, the do boy. You know, Wayne Huizenga used to come in and he'd be like, "Hey, do boy." And I'd be like, "Hey, how are you?" I was like, "You need me to do anything for you?" I mean, that was just the way it was. And you just grind it out and do it, right? That being said, he would come in at 6. He wouldn't leave until 4:30 or 5. Rookies, because team meeting was starting at 7, they'd be in at 6:55. Practice was over. They were showered up and gone by 2:30, 3 o'clock latest. And Zach's like, "I already know who's going to make it and who's not by who shows up 5 minutes early and leaves 5 minutes after we're done. They're not putting the work and time in. They're not going to take my job with that kind of effort." And see, that's a grown ass man right there saying, "This is my job, Rook. You ain't coming to get it."
Absolutely.
And so when you ask me your question, it's like, what's it? You got to be prepared for a job. And what's a job is getting paid to do a service. And DeAndre knows other quarterbacks in the NFL. If he's not prepared to take their job and their livelihood away from that person and pay his own bills, don't get in it. Because that's what this is. We ain't extending rosters. Rosters are 53-man rosters. So you're taking someone's job. When you walk in and tell me your son's great, honey, you're telling me to take somebody else's son off the roster for your kid. And if they don't have the killer instincts and the mentality and the effort and everything I'm looking for, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give it to somebody else just because you believe in them.
Yeah.
I got to tell my boss, my owner, my coaches, this is the kid we need that's going to help us secure our jobs, help us stay in the building and making our paychecks. It's a job. And that transition is very hard. And that's why I created Maverick Sports Consulting, was to help educate everybody. And I do, you know, stuff at schools. I do my workouts and things to talk to the players. But at the HBCU event, it was really special. I got an opportunity to do a presentation and talk to them about being a professional and interviewing and the process and how to relate to the decision makers and answer for themselves, why? Why is this man asking me this question? Well, if it's a coach asking you the question on how you learn, it's because he's trying to see if he can teach you the game plan each week. If he can get you to perform each week on the field. If it's a general manager asking you a question about your past, your character, it's because he needs to know he can trust you with the Dallas Cowboys star on your chest, that you're not going to go out on a Saturday night and get drunk and then run a red light and hit a mom and a daughter and kill them in the traffic session. And now all the headlines are about drunk driving and do the, you know, Dallas Cowboys condone drunk drivers and da da da, and it ruins their ability to continue to make money. And this is a business. And these are $1 billion businesses. So understanding the why as a player, as an employee of the questions and things that are going on, is very important. And I try to educate everybody that comes to Mavericks on the whys so they can understand what's going on really behind the screen, you know, because the Wizard of Oz is back there pulling the levers. Long-winded answer, but thank you for letting me have the time.
Perfect answer.
DeAndre, you remember the question?
That was a great answer, but yeah, can you repeat the question for me?
Yeah, because I kind of rambled on. I could see him over there, and I was like, "What's the question again?"
I think all of us were like, "Oh, what's the question?"
Man, that was a good answer. I was learning. I was too busy learning. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a different question, DeAndre. Quarterback. You understand what that means. You understand the level of leadership that entails and the moniker that comes along with it when you say black quarterback. Tell us what it takes to be uncomfortable. because that's what you're asking for, you know, as far as being a leader, stepping in front of 52 men on a roster every day, and being that voice that galvanizes them to that leadership, you know, that place of leadership that you would direct. So tell a young Black quarterback coming up behind you, because right now this is education. We only want you to talk about what you know. Tell a young Black quarterback what it's going to take to be in your position, what it's going to take to be uncomfortable, and be willing to embrace that.
You know, looking back on it, if I could tell a Black quarterback what it's going to take, it's really simple, man. It's just all about sacrificing. And growing up, it starts with little sacrifices. Just as a young quarterback, as a young man, just going to sleep early, putting a video game down, just creating those habits that once you get older, sacrificing not going to the club and studying the playbook will come easy because you've already formed those habits of disciplining your mind and disciplining yourself that, okay, I have to do this in order to get to where I want to be. I can't just take a chance and not care and scream YOLO just because all those guys over there are doing it. So just learning at a young age that being disciplined and learning, you know, the risk and reward that comes with just certain things that comes with life, learning the consequences of, okay, if I do this, what is the risk reward? What will I be getting out of this? Is this going to help me get to where I want to be? That's the advice I would give a young quarterback or just a young guy growing up, coming up and just trying to be something great. Understand that you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to tell your girlfriend not tonight, or tell your guys that don't play football. Tell your guys, the non-athlete guys, that listen, I can't go tonight. I have to sacrifice. I got to go to sleep tonight. I got workouts in the morning. And if you can learn that at a young age, the path to the NFL will be smooth. I wish I would have learned that, you know, sooner. So just giving that advice to a young guy to make the path to the NFL a lot easier is real simple, man. It's all about the decisions and the sacrifices that you make.
See, Maz is the piggyback exactly what you said. So for me, I learned something recently, and I'm 35, and I just learned this recently. Comfortable people stay stagnant. Uncomfortable people rise to the top. And the position that you play, Dre said it perfectly. You got to be uncomfortable. And the guy that you want to look at, I guess, through the journey is Michael Vick. Why? Because he's been through so much. But when he came out from his situation, he was determined to play again. And he fought. And he broke those barriers. And he came back on the field. And for me, I was looking at it like, because I'll tell you a quick snippet here. I'm 35 at 21 years old. My parents left me $150,000. I blew through every dime of it, not afraid to admit to it. I learned from it. But now I told myself the reason why I blew that money, because I was comfortable. I was comfortable. I was like, oh, I can do this today. I wasn't uncomfortable, so I can turn that money into more funds and everything like that. So we already know with our skin complexion, it's going to be a struggle. We're going to have to fight. And you said it perfectly. I had to learn how to tell my friends as the money was running out, nah, we can't do this. Nah, we got to slow down on this because, again, it's all about that image. Because once the TV get a hold of you, I mean, they're following you around 24/7. You really can't have a personal life. You want to play spades. You can't even play spades without somebody wanting to. Breaking news, he's playing spades. But it's also reminding yourself that, hey, I know with this is going to come a huge, huge responsibility. So me personally, again, mine is not a question. I'm rooting for you because I've seen so many different things that you've done. Like, again, they don't talk about the degrees. They don't talk about the 5 touchdowns that you had. Trust and believe me, I YouTubed all day long today. I was at work and my boss told me, get off YouTube. And I was like, no, I'm studying a young brother out here who is going to get this opportunity. So on our end, I know everybody was so I am pulling for you. When you get there, I will pay full price for tickets. I will not call you and say, give me the hookup. I will pay the money to see you there because I will be in the crowd and be like, we talk to this young man first, and this young man deserves it. So, again,
well, Brian, I'll be there next year. I'll buy the hot dogs because I'll buy a ticket to watch him play. As much as I've gotten to work him out, I can't wait to see him between the lines and actually playing with rushers coming after him and seeing what he can do there, because I'm definitely on board with that. This is a guy I'm excited to watch play between the lines.
Absolutely. And really the responsibility falls on us too as well. I want to call what you would call the media out. It's on us to create platforms like this that protect, you know, Black faces and Black players and Black quarterbacks like yourself. It's on us to create platforms like this that let you, you know, share a side of yourself that, you know, that we all can relate to. And that's simply just a technical talk from beginning to end. I would like to thank Mr. Turner for giving us his time. And simply just educating us on the business of sports. I'd like to thank Mr. Francois for giving us his time for you know, educating us on what it takes to hustle and to be uncomfortable and to be in that position. And really, he taught us about leadership without even knowing. I'd like to thank Brian A. Lyon for lending me his time. Everybody look out for the Brian A. Lyon podcast. Super dope, wonderful, wonderful sports insight. Also Mav Sports. Oh, David, please let everybody know where we can find you. Give us all your Twitter handles and your social media outreach.
Oh, I appreciate it. Mavs_sports is how you find us on 99% of the media stuff. This weekend, we will be doing a live draft podcast and reaction shows. So we will be on for 5 straight hours doing a pregame show on with the Draft Bible and then coming over to One Institution and whirling the Mav Sports Take show for the live draft coverage. We will be having guests on players that get selected, NFL network personalities. A lot of my friends are going to pop on and talk. It should be a really good time over the 3 days of the NFL draft. And hopefully we'll be educating you a little bit on why the moves are happening and the players are coming off the board the way they are.
Mr. Francois, appreciate you. What we like to do at Technical Talks, we like to, like I said, establish networks that, you know, build trust between ourselves and our guests. We would love to invite you back on the show after you get that call from the NFL and really just have a recap. Talk about influences in business, people you've met, you know, investments, things of that nature. So we can go further and deeper into the education, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sir. That's cool with me, man. I love to come back on here. It's a good vibe. I just appreciate y'all for having me on here. It's a great opportunity.
We appreciate you.
Just let me get my hot dog, David. David owes me a hot dog. As soon as we
at the game, at the game. It's not just a free dog, bro. Okay. You got to be at the game.
Oh, I'm coming.
It's like a $9 dog versus like a $2 something. I'm going to pay the $9 dog. I'll get you some popcorn. I'll even get you some nachos. We'll sit there. We'll watch them tear apart a defense. It'll be good.
Hey, shout out to you, DeAndre.
DeAndre, if you could do that at the Cardinals, though, so this way it's closer for me, I'd appreciate it.
Hey, anywhere, anytime, any place, I'm there.
Oh, man, thank you. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to Technical Talks with us. With that being said, we're out.
Thank you.
All good?